Thank you to Hazel and Rodney for reading those two readings for us. Let's bow our heads to pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you went into the wilderness, facing temptation, solitude, and sacrifice for us, in order that our relationships with God could be restored and become the number one priority in our lives. Teach us through your word and your spirit new ways to honour and follow you as our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome to this series of Worship in the Wilderness, and Danielle introduced it to us last Sunday. But I want to think back a little bit further to last Wednesday evening when we had our open house evening, and many of you were glued to your screens for that evening. It was time well invested, as Archdeacon Barry Ford explained why he loves the book of Ecclesiastes so much. I have to confess, I could never fathom his great love for this book, and it only became clear after hearing him last week. All the pieces came together as he introduced Qehelet, the teacher, and explored many of the questions we face in life, and then encouraged us to discover the goodness to be had in every day. And like St. Paul to say, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Perhaps on this first day of Lent, it is a time to consider, what are our circumstances today? What's going on in our lives? And can we say, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances? And maybe you feel you can't say that for yourself at the moment. And in some ways, I feel I can't, because there's so much more I'd like to be doing with family, with church, with sharing the gospel. But then Paul reveals in a startling way in Philippians 4 and verse 13, the secret to contentment. He says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. And if Lent is about anything, it is about drawing on the strength that God gives us. It is about contentment that's beyond this world, because Jesus has overcome the world. His power is greater than the world's power. He faced 40 days in the wilderness. He faced betrayal by some of his closest friends and the agony of the cross. So as you and I can overcome the challenges of this world and say, it is because of his strength that I can be content no matter what. Ash Wednesday marks the beginning of Lent and the beginning of this series called Worship in the Wilderness. We will go with Jesus into the desert to explore the idea that wilderness worship can look quite different from other forms of worship. It can involve things like fasting and prayer, solitude, simplicity, and sacrifice. And these forms of worship are given to us by God in the Bible. In both the New and the Old Testaments, the people of God are called to come to him in times of repentance, simplicity, and sorrow. And through this interesting journey of worship, we can deepen our trust in Christ and know God strengthening us no matter what our circumstances. But God has some words of caution before we embark on this fascinating wilderness journey. First, he tells us this is a time to rend your hearts. The prophet Joel warns the people of God's coming judgment. He calls them to a period of repentance, of fasting, weeping, and mourning. And part of our Lent journey will involve us acknowledging the broken world that we live in and the mistakes that we all make which contribute to that brokenness. And like the people in Joel's time, we may need to turn to God to confess the sin in the world and the sin in our own lives. We may find it appropriate to fast, to weep, or mourn. And as we do so, we will find that God continues to be gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. In the midst of this message, Joel has an important warning. He says, "Rend your hearts, not your garments." Or the New Living Translation puts it like this: "Don't tear your clothing in your grief, but tear your hearts instead." Now, as with any act of worship, it is always possible to put on an outward show of engagement with God while our hearts are somewhere else. We can sing the right songs, pretend to be spiritual, or talk loudly about how much fasting we're doing. But all this means very little if it is motivated by selfish desires rather than a broken and contrite heart before God. Worship in the places of wilderness is never easy. And you may be struggling, having no physical worship gathering at the moment. It's interesting that almost every week we have a person who sends us a message, "Open your church." Well, while I think his comment is misguided at this time, I do eagerly look forward to the day when we reopen safely and sensibly to sing God's praise, to worship him in spirit and in truth. And he commands us to gather together in his name. And when we do so in that gathering, he promises he will be with us in a special way as we do worship in spirit and in truth. However, through this time of lockdowns, of wilderness travels, he calls us in a very particular way to replace selfish motives by coming person to person with him, with open and contrite hearts. This is a time to rend our hearts. And then secondly, it is a time in the secret place. Jesus takes Joel's warning a stage further. He challenges his hearers not to engage in spiritual practices to be seen by others or to be honoured by others. He too is concerned that practices like giving to the needy, prayer and fasting can become ways of showing off. So he encourages us instead to do these things in secret. He repeats three times that if we do these things in secret, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Matthew 6 and 18. Now, to be practical for a moment, it is unlikely that any of us can really grow in these spiritual disciplines if we keep them completely secret. Husbands and wives will probably need to talk about things like giving money out of the family budget. If a child wants to fast a meal, they will probably need to tell their parents. And even times of prayer will probably involve letting people know you are not to be disturbed, that you are in that place of prayer, in that secret place. Beyond this, it can be encouraging to discuss with close friends, a small group of other Christian believers, our experiences of these kinds of Lent disciplines. I don't think Jesus' point was that we keep elaborate secrets from each other. His point is to check our heart, our motives. And we need to come into this season asking God to work in us from the inside out. Richard Foster, who wrote the book A Celebration of Discipline, offers this helpful advice about a time in the secret place. I urge you to find a place of focus, a loft, a garden, a spare room, an attic, even a designated chair, somewhere away from the routine of life, out of the path of distractions. Allow this spot to become a sacred tent of dwelling or a secret place to meet with God. And thirdly, this is a time to take something up. Now, if you go down Bow Street and ask people what Lent is about, they will probably talk about giving up chocolate or alcohol or some other unhealthy food or habit. And if you know anyone who has done that for Lent, you will probably remember them talking endlessly about how difficult it was and how they suffered for 40 days or indeed gave up after a week. But Jesus and Joel set us a different kind of challenge for Lent. Rather than loudly giving things up, how about we quietly take something up for Lent? Maybe you'd like to send us some suggestions and we can share them with others. We won't put your name on it. Why don't we take the hand of Jesus and be led by the Spirit into the wilderness as he teaches us the way of simplicity, sorrow, sacrifice, and truth-seeking? Maybe we should be asking ourselves, how can we simplify our lives to make time for God? How can we show sorrow for sin and destruction in the world? How can we make sacrifices that bring help, hope, and Christ to others? How can we, with grace and humility, speak truth that brings freedom to those who are yet to come to Christ? We should ask ourselves, will we take up something this Lent that really benefits others? So let's ask the Holy Spirit to guide us on this journey, which starts in our hearts, in our desire to follow Jesus, to learn from him, and be surprised by where he takes us, and then see how he grows his kingdom and pours unexpected blessings like manna falling from heaven into the wilderness. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you with broken and contrite hearts to seek your presence, your contentment, and your peace for our lives and for the lives of those around us. Break and mould us in the secret places, that we may take up our cross to willingly follow you and make you known. For your glory and honour, we ask it. Amen.